Hello, my name is Professor Smadar Rosenzweig. Welcome to Torat Imecha Nach Yomi with the OU Women's Initiative. Today we will be studying Sefer Iyov, Perek Yud Zayin, Chapter 17. To review, in the last chapter, in Chapter 16, Iyov responds to the second round of Eliphaz's criticisms and is tired of everyone acting holier than thou, self-righteous and smug, about their opinions on divine justice and spouting about Iyov's clear guilt, which is just proved by his suffering. They have no proof of his actually cheating, lying, hurting others. He is disappointed by their accusations and lack of empathy and sensitivity. He realizes that he can't complain about his plight to them. So he addresses God and delineates the details of his suffering. And Iyov still holds out the hope that he will be able to have a dialogue with God, like one has with a fellow human. He is upset that the earth is hiding his blood and that he has no way to exhibit and actually have someone solve his dilemma. In our chapter, in chapter 17, verse 1, Iyov feels that his soul is crushed and only the grave is his near destiny. Rashi explains this verse and the following verses. We're going to do this perek almost exclusively l'shitat Rashi and discuss Rashi in general. I yearn for the grave because my friends who came to comfort me are mocking me and traumatizing me. I see this behavior as an instigation, and my sight, my heart, my eyes even sleep with these feelings of rejection and mutiny. In Rashi's words, verse 2, right? The actual words are, Eini vilibi umachshavti lanim bahem. As Rashi explains, I'm living in this feeling of rejection. My waking moments, my sleeping moments, everything is this feeling of rejection. I am totally alone. In verse 3 and on, according to Rashi, Iyov turns to God and asks him to agree to a discussion, because the friends are not on the level. His discussions with them are not satisfying. And maybe they should be punished for their empty accusations against him. Verse 8. Yashomu yesharim al zot, v'naki al chanef yitorar. At least other upright people should hear their arguments against me and criticize these hypocrites. Rashi understands Iyov's beseeching God, that it's also a way of awakening others, other righteous people, that they should be upset at these arguments, because a lot of righteous people suffer. So obviously, this answer is not the ultimate answer. Verse 9. V'yochez tzadik darko, utehar yadayim yosif ometz. Rashi explains, every tzadik and righteous person should always stand up to hypocrites and sycophants, and those of pure hands should be strong. Rashi interprets Iov's words as a battle cry to all the righteous. They should not cower when they hear the friend's arguments against him. Or maybe even an encouragement to others who find themselves in the same position. Stay the course. Argue your position. Stay strong. Don't give in to the haters and people who are putting you down. So Rashi understands Iov as encouraging others to argue this point and to feel that they have a voice. Nevertheless, in verse 10, Rashi explains that even though none of you are wise and you are criticizing me falsely, come back to speak with me. In verse 10, even though Io finds the discussions of the friends unsatisfying because God's not answering him, he feels very alone. So he wants his friends to come back and argue with him. Maybe conversation and companionship is better than silence. Either way, Iov ends the perek that he knows his end will be the grave. In every end of the perek, Iov is morbid. He always talks about the grave and dying. Rashi views this perek as Iov's complete disillusionment in the friend's behavior and wisdom. He also encourages others who are suffering like him to stand up and strenuously defend their views. Iov wants to debate with God, but since God is not available, at least he can argue with the friends. So Iov encourages the friends to stay and argue. Since anyway, even though they are so negative, his only hope is the grave, so they won't really change his destiny. Rashi, Rabbi Shlomo Yitzchaki, lived from 1041 to 1105 in Troyes, France. Rashi is one of, if not the, greatest of the Rishonim. The group only includes Rambam, Maimonides, and Nachmanides, Ramban, to debate the question of this very select group of the greatest of the Rishonim and Talmidei Chachamim of all time. Rashi's main works were the commentary on the Talmud, the Tanakh, and Halacha. He led a yeshiva where he had excellent students and sons-in-law of his three daughters. We like this method of Rashi so much that so far three of our four daughters married my husband, Rav Michael Rosenzweig's Talmidim. Rashi was the spearheading Rebbe of the next generation of great Talmudists in France and Germany, called the Tosafists, Ba'alei HaTosafot. And many of his sons-in-law were some of the great Rebbes of the next generation of the Tosafists. Rashi, as we have seen in this chapter and earlier ones, for example, chapter 13, verse 15, Hein yikteleni lo ayachel, though he shall slay me, I will not, or will, we do it by decree, we discuss this, I will still yearn for him, but I must justify my ways before him. There, Rashi adds, I shall not separate myself from him and shall always trust in him. Therefore, there is no transgression or rebellion in my words. On the next verse, in chapter 13, Gam hu li li shua, ki lo lefanav chanef yavo. Rashi interprets, he will also be my salvation, but a hypocrite will not come before him. As I am holy with him, so is God's salvation for me. In both places, Rashi adds an extra idea to the actual pshat of the pasuk. He added in the earlier pasuk, therefore there is no transgression or rebellion in my words. Rashi wants to emphasize that Iyov was not a rebeller, and it was not a transgression to say these things. And in verse 16 there, he adds, as I am wholly with him, because I am completely with Hashem, and therefore Hashem will be my salvation as well. Rashi does state that Iyov's faith was imperfect in some areas, and he does complain too forcefully sometimes against God. He's only human. Yet overall, Rashi's view of Iyov's strong words towards God as coming from a place of closeness and yearning for God. Rashi views Iyov as a good person overall, who does not deserve the abuse of the friends. Rashi sees Iyov basically as a man of faith. Rashi sides with Iyov versus the friends in their assumption that Iyov must have sinned, and Rashi criticizes their harshness. However, Rashi, commenting on chapter 33, comments, Lamed Gimel, right, that Abraham, our patriarch, was a person of perfect faith because he was unquestioning of God. So Rashi clearly places Abraham on a higher level. And in one of our classes, we will discuss the Akedah and Abraham as well. Overall, but not all, the medieval commentators maintained the traditional image of a pious and faithful Iyov. Rabbi Yosef Kara, a student contemporary, Talmud Chavar as we call it, in the years 1065 to 1165, also in Troyes, France, had a similar view of Iyov. Iyov had doubts, but he was not rebelling against God. To sum up chapter 17, Rashi views this perek as Iyov's complete disillusionment in the friend's behavior and wisdom. He also encourages other righteous individuals who are suffering like him to stand up and strenuously defend their views. Let their voice be heard. Iyov wants to debate God, but he is not available. So Iyov encourages the friends to stay and argue. Since anyway, even though they are so negative, his only hope is the grave, they won't change his destiny, but at least he'll have someone to argue with, to state his claim. In the next chapter, chapter 18, will be the second response of Bildad, who we met earlier in chapter 8. Thank you for studying together. L'ilui Nishmat Malka Esther Bat Tzvi Yosef.